All right, let's just pray for Dave as he brings the word to us today. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you. You're the God who saves us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray that your power would come right now, Lord Jesus. You would speak through Dave, Lord. Let your word that's in there come out, Lord, powerfully and clearly, Lord Jesus, this morning. Lord, let it go right into our hearts. Lord, would you do the work that you want to do this morning? Would you draw hearts to you, Lord? Would you set people free?
Yes.
Lord, we just pray Dave would have liberty, Lord, and just peace on him right now as he shares in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, just in case you didn't all hear, I'll be back in 3 weeks. Tina and I are celebrating our 20th anniversary by attending a beautiful wedding in Hawaii. And so we're leaving early tomorrow morning, and we'll be back in about 8 days, and then I will be going to the conference in Vernon with our North American Leaders Conference from Salt and Light, and see you in 3 Sundays from today. Boy, my voice sounds funny. Does that mean I need to tell a few stories first? It's Don's fault. Oh, Wayne says it's because Don is messing with his board back there. Don't forget, this Wednesday, it's not just the neighborhood groups that are getting together. It's all of us with the neighborhood groups who are getting together to pray, to seek God's face, seek His kingdom, that His kingdom might be expanded among us. So be here at 7:30 on Wednesday. Would it help you if I switched microphones? Because I don't think I'll be dancing around this morning. I could be tied to the mic if I have to be. We're all right? All right. Sounds good to you even? Yeah? It's okay? All right. Here we go then. Let's just quickly review this wonderful theme that we've been going through as a church the last number of weeks. We've been talking about what it means to live in Jesus Christ. All through the New Testament, Paul uses this phrase, to live in Christ. And we kicked off on Easter Sunday talking about living in Christ means that we are justified. And we actually had a song about that this morning, Justice and Mercy. But because of God's mercy, He justified us in Jesus' payment on our behalf. So we're justified, and that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now living in us. So to live in Christ means to live justified. Reuben talked to us about to live in Christ means we're a new creation. A new creation that God's magnetic force latches onto and then attracts others to Him. A new creation. And he asked, what kind of a hotel will you be for Jesus to live in? We talked about living in Christ means that we find life through faith. It's our faith in Jesus is where we find life and life abundantly. Faith comes by trust, letting go and trusting, dying to self and trusting. And then over the weekend, we had our apostolic team here, Ron McLean and Steve Thomas. Prayer. Our greatest resource living in Christ, Ron McLean. The early church, he said, believed. They had corporate prayer. They were united. They were passionate. They were God-centered. They were missional and they were effective. That's it in a nutshell if you missed Ron's talk. Steve then talked to us about baptism. We're baptized into the resurrection life of Jesus. We take our old life. We're baptized first into His death. And then into His resurrected life. Ron talked to us about if we're in Christ, we are leaders called to bear fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Mary talked to us. If we're in Christ, we are part of a worshiping community, a community that is always in awe of God. Worship in awe of Him, recounting His incredible, wondrous acts. Ron talked to us again that if we're in Christ, we're baptized with His Holy Spirit, that His power is upon us, that He dwells in us, and the Holy Spirit baptizes us. And then the last time we had together with our team was Steve talking about living in Christ means I'm forgiven. I'm found by God. And I'm home. That was quite a weekend, wasn't it? What does it mean to live in Christ? What a wonderful thing that God has justified us. And then last week, we heard from a number of women at Teen Challenge, and we saw some of our women get baptized, and we heard that living in Christ means He's Lord. He's in charge, and it's about lordship over my life. I choose to follow Christ. Today I want to talk to you, second to the last time, about living in Christ. Next week, David Deniger is going to wrap up our series. And the following week, Jeff Dresselhaus will take us into a new series about the glorious church of Jesus Christ. Christ's vision for His glorious church. But today I want to talk about one more time, living in Christ is living in victory. Living victoriously. Remember this Isaiah passage that we started out this year with, Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? Why your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. That's a promise. Eat of Jesus, remain in Him, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And so Paul puts it this way in Galatians. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that is living, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. What does it mean to live in Christ? The richest affair, a life of victory. Living in Christ means living in victory. I remember a number of years ago, I think it was about 8 years ago, we had a Salt and Light youth conference. It might have been the one in Winnipeg or it might have been the one in Indiana. I don't remember which. But I remember one night, Lisa Wins, used to be Lisa Middleton, had a prophetic word for a young man. And this young man stood up and she said, I see you as a giant tree. Big branches, big strong trunk, lots of fruit. And God says He's going to do great exploits through you. You're going to be involved in great things with God. And that might not be word for word what she said, but it was something like that. Later that night, that young man shared. And he said, you know, all my life, I felt like something like that was going to happen. That God wanted to do something with me. And then I thought, no, that's wrong. That's pride. And he was so freed by someone giving him a prophetic word that says, actually, these great, great dreams of yours are from God. You ever hear about a guy in the Bible called Joseph? Wasn't Joseph like that? He had these dreams of his life being so great that his brothers were bowing down to him. His brothers hated him because of his dreams. One time he had a dream that the stars and the sun and moon were bowing down to him. And he said, what, you think mom and dad are going to bow down to you? Come on, get a life, buddy. You can read about that in Genesis. But it was from God, wasn't it? It was God's preparation. God showing him that there is more in his life. Jesus is the one who said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory. Not pride, not arrogance, but to Father's glory. If we abide in Jesus, his dream come true is that all of his children would be fruitful. That all of his children would do great exploits. That's not arrogance. That's the dream of God. That's the vision of Jesus Christ. God has not called us to defeat. God has called us to victory. Why is it we sing all these songs about God reigning and God ruling God's kingdom and then somehow think that it's proud for us to live in victory? God has called us to live in Jesus Christ, and He has overcome. He has championed. He has succeeded. He lives in victory. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 1. Moses, at the end of his life, giving the children of Israel a vision for how to live, tells them, A, if you obey, life will be like this. B, if you disobey, life will be like this. If you obey, chapter 28, all these blessings will come upon you and will accompany you if you obey the Lord. Verse 3, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land, your livestock, your calves, your herds, your lambs, your flocks, your basket, your kneading trough will all be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in. You'll be blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction. They'll flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns, on everything you put your hand to. The Lord will bless you and the land that He has given you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Verse 10, then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. And it goes on and on and on. If you obey, the world will see that you bear the name of the Lord by all these grand blessings, all this grand victory that you walk in. You'll be the head, not the tail, the first, not the last. And if you disobey, the opposite. And it gets really dark, and we don't want to read that right now. Why don't we want to read that? Because while we have not obeyed, Jesus has. While these promises are unattainable for us, they're not unattainable for Jesus and those who live in Christ by faith. These blessings were held out to the children of Israel. They didn't walk in them because they failed. They fell short. And so Isaiah cries out, all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. This wonderful law was a teacher to us that showed us our need of Jesus. Showed us, I can't do it. But Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, no matter how many promises God has ever made, they are yes in Christ. And through Him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He put a seal of ownership on us. He put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The same promises that if you could ever walk this way, You would walk in such victory and such blessing that the world would say, aha, that's God's people. His name is on them. There's something different. There's something peculiar about these people. And Paul says, all these promises are yes, if you live in Christ. He didn't say yes, if you do what Israel failed to do, and without any help from God, you pull yourself up and you do it really good. No, he said yes, in Christ. Because in Christ, He makes us stand firm. In Christ, He puts a seal of ownership on us. In Christ, He gives us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing, you think this is good, wait till you see heaven, what is yet to come. In Christ is, yes, victory. To live in Jesus means that we live in His victory. And Scripture offers us life, and life abundantly in Jesus. You see, Satan does his best to keep people working for him. But if Jesus captures their heart, Satan does his best to keep you defeated while you love Jesus. But if Jesus saves you by grace, Satan does his best to keep you satisfied, just as one who escaped the fire. One who's busy with wood, hay, and stubble. One who's choked out by the worries and cares of this life. One who lives in constant fear of many different things. If Satan can keep you ineffective, keep you from living in the victory of Jesus, maybe he can't keep your heart. Maybe he can't keep God from saving you. But he'll do his best to keep you believing that what you've got is all you've gonna ever get. And it's okay. I'm saved. I've escaped the flames. I'm not going to hell. That's all that matters. That is a lie of Satan. If he can't intimidate you, at least he'll convince you to humbly go on thinking, I fall short every day, but I thank God I'm saved. And we think that's pious, but it still is a tactic of Satan to rob God of His glory, to rob God of His redemption flourishing with a people that say, make God famous. A people that say, look what it means to live in His blessing. Marriages that say, we're committed until death do us die. Fathers who teach their children the ways of the Lord. Employers like Marius, who treat their employees with respect. CEOs like Art, who do their best to fill their management team with quality Christians to look after the people in that hospital. That's current. To make him famous, like Johannes and Susan, finding a way to tell their story about Jesus. Like Erica Haug, who lifts us up in prayer all the time. Like every young man and every young woman who doesn't give way to the lust and perversity of our world and walks a straight and true line. Living in victory makes God famous, gives God glory. And there is a lie from Satan that says that's pride. You see, it's good news what we've been studying about living in Jesus. It's good news that He found me. It's good news that He forgave me. It's good news that He justified me. My sins are no longer counted against me. That's all wonderful good news. But there's more. It's good news that He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He'll never leave me, never forsake me. But there's more. It's good news that we found the family of God. And it's wonderful that we're His children. It's wonderful that you receive me. I receive you. You receive one another simply because you have faith in the same God I have faith in. And that makes us of the same family, brothers and sisters. That's wonderful that we're received simply because we have like precious faith. An old saying that some of us grew up with. So what shall we say? Is that all? Romans chapter 6. Shall we simply continue to be thankful, grateful sinners? I just keep on living humbly, low, and thankful. Praise God, I escaped the fire. And Paul says, no. The entire plan of God, says Paul in Romans chapter 6, is that we now live a new life in Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Whoa, what an awesome God we have. He's called us to live a new life in victory. It's actually a lie from Satan, a theology that has crept into our churches that says being forgiven is all that matters. Doing great exploits with God is arrogant or proud. And this lie has kept us subdued, and I must say, our men bored. And filling that void with mountain climbing or daredevil things doesn't fill the void. Doing great exploits of entertainment, great exploits of buying materialism, great exploits of decorating the best better than anybody else, it's all temporary, destined to perish, rust and rot away. But treasures in heaven and great exploits for them, that's glory. That's glory. There's more to life. There's more to God's theology. There's more to living in Christ than just living in forgiveness. Living in victory is part of His destiny for us. The old life is dead. We live His new life. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 calls us instruments of righteousness. Not just His sorry lot of instruments. Instruments of righteousness. Bearing fruit for God, Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 3, strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner man. Do you know what it's like to walk in a victory that doesn't come from your own, but comes from Him strengthening you with power? From Him giving you what you don't have naturally. From Him letting you live on a plane of excellence, or letting you live on a plane of victory that isn't yours. It's His. What is that like? When He gives you the Spirit and Satan's chocolate-covered poison comes to you in temptation and the Holy Spirit says, don't. Woo! And there's victory because you follow this awesome counselor, this wonderful advisor who never leaves you and never forsakes you, who makes a level path for you and it never falls short. Trustworthy advice that never goes wrong.
What a wonderful, wonderful God we have.
He's supplied, He's given us everything we need for a life of godliness in Christ Jesus. Everything we need. So often what we need is no
warning. That's chocolate-covered poison. Don't take it.
Ephesians chapter 2.
We are God's workmanship,
created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship. God put us together, gave us certain skills and talents and ability, made us uniquely different than the person beside you. He did that in Christ. Why? Because He's destined you to do good things that He thought of long ago in advance.
That's what Blair's doing. Do you know, I see the fingerprints of God on what Blair's doing in India. He had about 5 minutes to give you a little tiny window. I'm sure we will hear more because I think God's in that.
That's a great, great exploit. It has the potential to touch many, 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 many people around the world who would otherwise never have a chance at education. But it's not just about education. It's about planting churches too. It's about transforming whole villages with the gospel. God does these things. God does great exploits through you. I want you to think for a moment about other scriptures that promise victory. I'm going to give you a moment, in a little bit, I'll give you time to shout them out. What are scriptures that God has given you to hang on to that have given you victory over an area of defeat in your life? I'll give you a few examples. I've told you many times that God saved me out of depression, deep depression. During that time, there is one verse in Timothy that I hung on to like an anchor. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and this is the important part for me, a sound mind, because I thought I was going crazy. In Christ, I have the mind of Christ. Love, power, and a sound mind. Satan, get out of here in Jesus' name. Because depression doesn't equal what I just read. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Depression, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Because it's not joy in the Holy Spirit. I found victory that way. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall harm you. Why does that matter? Because one night I woke up and somebody was kneeling on my chest and throttling my throat and pinning me to my bed and I couldn't breathe. And as I opened my eyes, I saw the bed above me and I didn't see anybody in between. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for God to help me and He didn't help me. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed some more. And then He told me, I've given you power in the name of Jesus. And instead of God just answering my prayers, He gave me His power because He wanted me to be involved in the process of answering that prayer. And He reminded me, some preacher 3 years ago told you there's power in the name of Jesus. Use it. In the name of Jesus! Poof! It shot out my window. And I sat up in my bed and said, oh, He's given us power. Oh my goodness, He's given us power. And I went back to sleep. Peace. No fear. Because God's power is on my side. The power of the name of Jesus has been so important in my life. the times that I used to walk into my house and be filled with fear, convinced that somebody was going to jump out and knife me. And to be able to look in my living room at nothing and say, "You evil spirits of fear, get out of here in Jesus' name." And to find freedom. These things are real. There are people in such bondage. I'll never forget. I'll never forget a neighbor who lived behind us. One day asked my wife and I to come and talk. Somehow trusted us with the most personal things of their life. And for this woman and her live-in boyfriend to say night after night, "Evil spirits, wake me up and use me." And the boyfriend to watch what's happening to her and be unable to help. We say, we can help. In the name of Jesus. No, I don't want Jesus. That woman's still in bondage to what I know. Talk to me, counsel me, but Jesus, no. She's still in bondage, but could have freedom in the name of Jesus. One simple thing of this awesome power of Jesus could be gone. I remember Tina's sister when she was 12 years old, she got headaches. She was about 10, 11, 12 years old. She had these terrible migraine headaches. And she would always come to me, "Dave, can you pray for me? In the name of Jesus." Oop, she's free. She had such faith. We all know there's people we pray for that aren't healed. But she had such faith. Just a childlike faith. God can heal me. There's victory in Jesus. And again and again and again, she was set free. Over and over when headaches came to her. The promises of God. Promises of God aren't just about physical blessings. It's about overcoming Satan. It's about overcoming sin. John puts it this way. 1 John chapter 5. "This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome, because everyone who is born of God overcomes the world." Wow. That's phenomenal. What a perspective he has. Live in life. Live as an overcomer. Live in God's love by obeying everything the Holy Spirit puts in your heart. Everything written in His Word. And then John says, don't worry. It's no big deal. Because if you're born again, you overcome. What a perspective. His life, his perspective is that if you're living the life of Jesus, the world becomes very faint. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John chapter 5. As I'm sharing these scriptures, you're thinking about defeat, aren't you? You're thinking about low-level living. You're thinking about problems. You're thinking about things that just don't match up to what we're reading. Exactly. So take the promises of God, put your faith to it, and tell the devil to get lost. But if we never talk about these scriptures, and all we talk about is God's forgiveness, you will never have the faith to rise above this low level of living. It's not just so simple. There's things that you've heard that you say, but I've done that, I've tried that, I've prayed that, I've said the name of Jesus, and this hasn't changed in my life. I haven't seen the victory. But knowing that God's promise says so will give you faith
to seek Him and seek Him and seek Him until He shows you the way. Maybe the way is when Jesus says, yeah, I know, guys. That comes out by prayer and fasting. I don't want to fast. No way. Or maybe the answer is what He said to Paul one day. Hey, Paul, you asked me 3 times, okay? My grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to change it. Oh. That's okay. He's given me grace to continue in the situation. Okay, then. But at least I asked. But if we don't talk about these promises, then we just keep living this boring life of simply being forgiven and continuing on in our sin. And Jesus says, I have given life and life abundantly. If you abide in me, bear much fruit so that my Father is glorified. Be a big tree. Be a big noise for God. What promises are you aware of? What promises in Scripture have you had? Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Mary.
Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be known unto Him, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, to keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. No anxiety, but the peace of God is for you.
Amen. He that is in me is greater than Satan who's in the world. He that is in the world. If God is with me, who can be against me? I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. And Paul talked about the all things after a whole list of physical troubles. Problems he had with finances, with living, with supply. But it's okay. I can handle anything through Him, was his answer. That's victory in the midst of poverty, in the midst of war, in the midst of trouble. Who else? He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Amen. If you believe Him, you come to Him, He rewards those who seek Him. Hebrews 6, this hope that is an anchor of the soul. I'm repeating for the sake of the recording. Say it again. Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, rise up with wings like eagles, walk and not be weary. Prosperous and successful, Joshua 1:8. Amen. John 14, you will do greater works. Psalms 18, He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. Amen. Amen. That was Romans 8. I want to just back up a few verses, starting in verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No. As it's written, we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through Him who loved us. And then what Thomas read, for I'm convinced none of these things are going to separate us from Him. Notice what's happening here. All the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But we're given a deposit. We're given the first fruits. He's given us these promises that says, live victorious in this broken world that you have. Live victorious even if it's a time of nakedness and famine. Live victorious even if you're going through a war. Live victorious even if you're sick and you don't get healed. But all these promises are yes and amen. All of them are a way to live victorious in Christ Jesus. He has triumphed over. He allows us to experience the first fruits. Sometimes we see this awesome thing, but it's just a deposit. And it gives us that glimmer of what heaven's going to be like when there's no more sin to worry about. No more mourning, no more pain, no more darkness. But He's telling us, in this life, you can live victorious in Christ Jesus. What does Satan have to offer us? Then why do we buy into it so much? What does Satan have to offer us? All kinds of distractions to keep us living lower than the glory of God. Anger, selfishness, greed, temptation, all kinds of things that are chocolate-covered poison. Why? Rebellion against our parents? Cash deals instead of paying taxes? All these opportunities that are chocolate-covered poison. And Jesus is saying, live in Me. Have life abundantly. Shall we stand together? Worship team, you want to come? Before we sing some songs that declare victory, I want us to wait on the Lord just a little bit. Bring to the Lord an area where there's not victory. Ask Him to show you His Word. Ask Him to show you a promise in His Word. Maybe one that you heard this morning. Where He reassures you what you're experiencing is not what it means to live in Christ. What you're experiencing is not the life of Christ I'm giving you. Don't let Satan rob you. Here is the word of life. Here is righteousness, peace, and joy. Here is what it means to live to the glory of God. Think about our heroes. Do you remember Daniel? Daniel, taken as a captive, as a young man, hauled off by the soldiers of another country to be made a slave in Babylon. And yet God took him to the very top, and they could not find corruption in him. They could not find any corruption in him, though they tried. Think of Joseph, who we mentioned earlier. Joseph had faith in God, continued to seek the Lord, hang on to his dreams as a hated brother, as a slave in Egypt, as an innocent victim in prison, and even when he rose to the second most powerful position in the kingdom, he didn't forget God in his prosperity. Think of the trust of Gideon and Deborah. Think of the trust of Stephen being stoned to death, looking up and seeing Jesus. These are the heroes who go before us. These are the ones that we imitate, that we want to be like. Let's live to His glory. Let's live victorious. Let's come before Him now. Father, we ask, Lord, that You would come and reveal to each one of us where Satan has lied to us. You have offered us abundant life in Christ Jesus. You have offered us to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of Satan, nothing harms us. To drink deadly poison and not be harmed. To cast out demons and not be harmed. To speak in new tongues. To receive Your power. To heal the sick. Lord, these are the promises that You've said are ours. That we would do even greater things than what the world saw Jesus doing in that day. Father, would You come? Show us Your promises now. Show us Your promises, Lord. For each person here, would You give them Your word to hang on to? What is a promise that God wants you to grab onto in faith? What is a promise that God is saying, this is My offer of life, of victory?